Hello and welcome. Wait, what? It's not Matt at the DM seat today? Well, guess what? I'm your DM for this one shot I created in a world all my own. And I have a penchant for 80s fantasy movies, so I'll let you guess which one inspired me for this storyline. So enjoy! Got a time limit to this, so you might want to get going. You have till sundown, and then you'll be stuck here forever.
That would really piss off my wife.
Yeah, so you guys might want to get a move on this. Well, I'll give you a few things to help you along your journey. And she like snaps her fingers, and there's this little shoebox-size ornate silver box that appears on the ground in front of you all, and it's glowing a little bit. It's clearly magical. And then she says ta-ta and snaps her fingers and disappears.
Yeah, we gotta get out of here.
Can't we just go out the way we came in? I mean, we already walked through the maze, right?
Are you looking around?
Yeah.
Help. There's no exit anymore.
The sky's a different color. I don't think we're in the maze anymore, guys.
We're not in Kansas anymore.
Yeah, we're not in that maze anymore. Well, this is a fine pickle.
I'm going to go walk over to the box.
Okay, what do you do to open it? There is a keyhole, and it seems like it is locked.
Oh, I've got this, guys. I've seen something like this before. So Calario bends down, picks the box up, and tries to put it in his mouth. Hang on, here we go.
It doesn't fit in your mouth unless you don't have that big a mouth.
Hey, I still have
Larkin. Yeah, do you still have the key, Larkin?
Yes, I still have the silver key.
Yeah, are you gonna do something with that key?
Yes.
Are you gonna interrupt this lick box section?
Excuse me, Calario. I happen to have a key, and unless you have the weirdest dental fillings I've ever heard of, please cough up the box and let me try to unlock it.
Here you go, Larkin. You can have the box. Sorry, it worked before for me. You would know. I mean, Odatra saw me do it once.
It is true.
Yeah, first I wiped it off the box, and now I'm using the key to open it.
Yeah, you wipe some slobber off of there, and then the key fits in perfectly, like it was made for the box.
Wow.
And it opens, and do you look inside it?
Yes.
Okay, so when you're holding it and you look inside, you can see there is a delicate half mask with ribbon ties that is decorated to look like a barn owl face.
Well, guys, what should we do with this mask? Does anyone want to try it on?
I have a suggestion that we don't let Calario put it in his mouth.
Second.
Well.
Calario?
I second this. Yeah, no, that's fine. That's okay. I don't like eating owls.
Do you take it out of the box?
Yes, I very carefully take it out of the box and hold it up in front of my
face. Is anyone else looking into the box?
Leopold would like to look in the box.
Leopold, you look into the box and you see a fist-sized crystal ball.
Ooh, he's going to pull it out and look through it up at the sky and inspect the crystal ball.
All right, so you gaze into this crystal ball and you feel really inspired.
Whoa.
And... Ooh. Yep, and so you get an inspiration point. And then you also see your reflection in the sphere, and you realize that your hairstyle has changed. It is now a long, wild mullet.
I feel very different.
Man, you look really cool.
Maybe you'll look really cool. And I hold the sphere up right before the centaur's face.
Can I look through the sphere?
It doesn't do anything for you.
Oh.
Seems like maybe it's specifically for one person.
Which one?
The one with the mullet.
One that I worked on already.
I like flip my hair and teasing it around. Yeah, like
blows a little bit in the breeze.
I feel
looks really, really cool.
I feel very good.
Well, you look real good, buddy. pat him on the shoulder, sad about not having a mullet.
And then I walk over to the box and look inside.
Adatra, you look inside the box and you pull out a silvery capelet that sparkles with magic and just literal sparkles. There are a lot of sparkles on this. And it also has shoulder pads.
Nice.
I'll flare it out, whip it out, and then throw it on my shoulders.
Okay. So as you put it on your shoulders, you realize that you can think about what you want your clothes to look like and that they can change.
I'll test that out.
Okay. What are you doing? You also feel like your armor class may be a little better.
I change my cocktail dress to a full-length gown.
It is a full-length gown, and it is, like, exuding sparkles everywhere. Like, anything you touch gets sparkles all over it.
Like glitter?
Yes, glitter.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, like, you try to wipe off your hand, and it just, like, wipes more glitter onto everything else.
Fantastic.
Wow, you are really shiny.
You have a plus one to your AC. Cool.
Is this the Cloak of Liberace?
No, Liberace.
I don't get it.
AC?
Oh.
Does Ren or Calario want to look in the box?
People seem to be getting nice things. I'll take a look in the box. Ren walks over and goes, oh, Dacho, if you wouldn't mind just a little down a little bit. He like reaches up a finger and just kind of gently pulls the box down. Thank you.
You look into the box and you see a pair of white and red striped socks.
This box is the best. I got socks! It holds up the socks. I gotta say, guys,
it's Christmas.
I don't know what the rules of the box are, but I think I won the box. Thank you.
Leopold claps with like the sphere.
Here's the problem. I don't have shoes, though.
Wait, you're barefoot?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
You can still wear the socks.
They have to get stuff in them. What if I wore them on my hands?
Try whatever you want to do.
He'll put the socks on his hands.
Okay. Feel like maybe some magic happened to you and do you want to do anything else? Do you want to touch anything with them? Just hang out with the socks on your hands?
I'll rub the socks together.
Okay. They get some static electricity.
And now I will touch Leopold.
Okay. You touch Leopold and you feel like if you wanted to, you could probably like climb straight up Leopold, even though that sounds weird.
That does sound real weird.
I feel like on your hands. If I really wanted to, I could climb up on you on my hands with my new socks.
That's great. I'm happy that those socks fill you
Hold still.
Oh, okay.
And I will start to climb you like my hands on you. I will go horizontal to the ground.
Yep.
You guys
and I will just start walking up.
She said that we have until sundown. And I'm just going to start walking around in like a T pose as this is happening, like looking for a way out of the room. With, like, my arms out.
Clara, are you going to look in the box?
I mean, yeah, I guess so. Everyone else is getting really cool stuff, so Clara is going to nudge past.
I will drop down and put my socks on.
Ren with his cool socks and look in the box.
That was really cool.
All right, so you look in the box, and you see a silver filigreed ring with a huge translucent gem on it.
Probably fake.
And do you pick it up, or what do you do?
Is the box proposing to me?
Yes.
I think it means you should put it in your mouth.
I was going to say, apparently you've already made it to first base, so.
Yeah, I mean, it must have really liked that sweet, sweet tongue action. Yeah, I'll take that ring.
Okay, and when you pick it up, it doesn't feel exactly like crystal like you thought it was, even though it's in the shape of a, like, giant crystal, and it smells sweet.
It is, in fact, a ring pop.
Uh-oh.
Yes, it is, uh-oh, actually.
Well, the smell's pretty good. I mean, it'd be weird and out of character if I didn't. And then I just kind of put it in my mouth.
Slowly slide
it. I don't know how I feel about Calero's like major character focus being his oral fixation.
I think it's hilarious. You'd expect with a centaur.
Actually, it's the first thing I would expect knowing horses.
All right. Roll a d4.
Uh-oh. I got a 3.
You know what this does.
I have an idea.
You turn into just a horse instead of a centaur.
So is the ring still in my mouth and I have no arms anymore, so...
Yeah. Okay. No, actually, I'll say...
No, don't make him a horse with arms, please.
I wasn't going to make arms on him. I was deciding... I think the ring just... Like, everything you're carrying in your hands and upper body would just kind of, like, disappear.
So everything kind of just, like, melds into my being, kind of? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
It's all in your mouth. And
so I've basically wild-shaped into a horse.
Yeah.
And the ring is still in my mouth.
I feel like the ring would just kind of, like, disappear. And you have a feeling that this won't last a super long time.
And am I able to talk?
Yes, you can still talk, which is weird. Also, you feel, like, really charismatic. So you actually have a +1 to charisma score, and you have proficiency in all charisma skills.
Ooh.
For now.
So charismatic. I like it. Does my hair look different, guys? I feel like my hair looks different. And I try to reach out for the crystal ball, realizing that I can't any longer. Uh-oh. This is weird.
I'm going to, like, run my fingers through your mane.
You're now a talking horse.
Oh, God, not again.
Not again.
Yeah, all right. That sounds totally normal. Don't put your trinkets in your mouths, guys. Let that be a lesson to you. Just don't. It's not fun.
Oh, the lollipop tastes like peaches, of course.
Of course, well, of course it does. Why would I have assumed anything else?
That's the thing.
I don't know. Okay, so the box disappears after all the items have been removed from it. So it's gone. No more box.
Calero, I am sorry for the loss of your greatest love.
That's okay. It's not the first time that's happened either.
That they've disappeared?
And I nay sadly.
Oh.
Yeah, he's quite right, actually.
Can I make an attempt to console the horse with animal handling?
Go ahead, and then I'll continue.
What a moment.
I got an 11, and so I'm just, like, trying to pet the horse sympathetically.
Okay.
Would you like a sugar cube?
I mean, yeah, that sounds pretty tasty.
I don't have one. Leopold, do you have a sugar cube?
No, I don't, but I don't know if anyone else realized this, but is there no way out of this courtyard anymore? I think the maze changed on us.
Yeah, what happened here?
So, you are in a courtyard that has hedge maze walls still, but like a stone floor, it has the statues in the middle. It's about 50 feet long and 30 feet wide. And you guys are in the, like, southern section of it. So you have, like, 40-some-odd feet ahead of you with the statues. And there's some benches around the edges. You don't see any exits. Seems like you're in a little hedge box right now. I guess a large hedge box. You can see the sky above you. And everything seems, like, more vibrant colored than you're used to. But, I mean, you were already told that you're not in the material plane anymore, so I'm just saying, it's vibrant.
Can I inspect the statue and see if it's changed in any way, like the maze has?
Sure, you can go inspect the statue.
Because you said it was a satyr and a centaur, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah, I will attempt to inspect, even though I am horrible at it. So I will do my investigation check. And I rolled a 1.
Cool. You're like, is this the same statue? I don't know.
I didn't look at the original statue.
Yeah. You actually hear, like, some giggling and rustling from you don't know where. You can't tell where it is. You all can hear this. I'll say maybe, Leopold, you actually don't notice this.
Okay.
You're like, this is a statue. What's it doing here? And then everyone else notices that there's, like, some rustling and, like, hee-hee, like, some giggling. And you can't, like, pinpoint where it's coming from, though.
I was going to say, could I attempt to pinpoint where it's coming from? If I actively search, what would you like me to use?
Perception?
That would be a 24.
You see like a little movement in shadowy corners for a second, and then it seems to kind of like disappear, and then you see it somewhere else. And so you're like probably thinking that some sort of magical creature is around y'all. And then you hear, oh, look, adventurers. And then you hear another voice that says, oh, boy, mistress said they would be here. And look, they are.
Hi.
And then you see a gray head with weird, saggy skin, sporting two long, pointy ears, poke up from behind the bench that's about 20 feet ahead of where you're standing. And then another creature around the same time, it has similar skin and a weird misshapen body, and it appears on top of the center statue. Like it's like poof and it's there. It has long gangly arms and one long greasy hair on the top of its head that's tied with a piece of yarn. And then you can see a third one of these small creatures. This one has a huge, awkward-looking nose, and it climbs up onto the statue plinth, and it crouches awkwardly under the satyr's legs. And then the one with the huge nose that's under the statue looks at you all and says, Mistress said we were to give you a present, but where did I put that? And it starts digging around in its greasy-looking folds of skin. And then the one with the string on its head says, I has it, not you, and pulls out an orange silk scarf from behind its back. And then the one with the huge nose says, there's two, Gilly. Where's the other one? And then you see the one behind the bench reach out with its spindly gray arm, and it's holding another silk scarf, and this one's green. And then the one underneath the statue says, Twinkie, you stole that from me. Give it back. Oh, just give it to those adventurers. And then it sighs. And then the hand retreats behind the bench again, and you see like a disturbance in the air 10 feet in front of you, and a gray, gnarly hand with chipped yellow nail polish appears, holding the green scarf between its two fingers. And then it releases the scarf. The hand disappears back through the little air rift thing, which also disappears once the hand disappears. And at the same time, the creature on top of the centaur statue puts the orange scarf in its hand and blows it towards you all. And you watch as the scarves begin to float to the ground. And then they are no longer scarves, but they are giant serpents.
Oh.
And you guys can all roll initiative.
Yeah.
I, Larkin, got 8.
I, Leopold of Mold, have a 5.
Okay.
I, Odatra, have a 16.
Wow.
And I, Ren Brassthorn, rolled a 13.
I got a 6.
Okay. All right, so they're going to get a surprise round because I said so. And how being a DM is so fun. Okay. I'm just going to set this up to make sure you know where everything is before I start. Y'all are on the narrow bottom end of this courtyard, and Leopold is standing next to the statue. I assume all y'all are...
We were all just situated around the box.
Yeah, you'll be around the box. You're probably 10 feet from the back wall. And then the snakes, they'll be in front of the statue.
And then the little creatures are all around the statues?
There's one on a bench near the back right corner of the room, and then it's like hiding behind the bench. And then there's one on top of the centaur, and there's one standing underneath the statue too. Since Leopold is standing so close to this, I forgot to mention one of the snakes is orange and the other one is green. And the orange one is closer to Leopold.
Okay.
And so it's going to do a surprise attack on him. It's going to try to bite you.
Okay.
With its sharp teeth. It's got like little gouts of flame on its skin, and it's orange and red and scaly, and has like, it's kind of like dragony, but it's a serpent, so it doesn't have legs. or wings. 14.
That is a miss. Huzzah! I avoid the snake as best I can.
It snaps at you, and you dodge it real good. Okay, and then it's going to try to smack you with its tail. 16.
That ties my AC, so that's a hit.
Okay, so it smacks you with its fiery tail.
Is that fire damage, or is it...
This is bludgeoning damage, and then you get some fire damage also. Okay, so you get 4 bludgeoning damage.
Okay.
And then you get 2 fire damage.
Okay.
So you feel like a tiny bit hot, probably.
Gotcha. I took the feat, because I went variant human, of heavy armor master, so I soak up some of that bludgeoning damage.
Okay.
But the heat definitely hurts, so...
All right, so then the snake's, like, hissing at you. It has a 5-foot reach, so it's probably still about 5 feet from you. And then the next snake, Calario, it sees nice, delicious-looking horse. The big green snake is going to slither towards you and try to hit you with its body. Okay. Ooh, okay, let's see. 18.
It hits any version of me that you can think of.
Oh, I got a 1. Okay, you get 5 bludgeoning damage and you're grappled.
Oh, no.
Yep, that's what happens. The snake wraps around you and it's like looks at you like it's debating how it could fit you in its mouth.
Mouth war.
Yeah, exactly. That's like my shtick. I don't appreciate this.
Now it's Odatra's turn.
I'm going to cast Chaos Bolt at the snake that is around Calario.
If you miss, are you going to hit Calario?
That's up to you.
Okay, yeah. See how you do. Are you aiming at the snake part that is around Calario's body?
Is there a snake part that's not?
Yeah, it's like its head's out, like contemplating how it can eat him.
Sure, I'll try and aim for the head. So, Chaos Bolt. So, you see Odatra whips her hand around and this energy of some prismatic color starts forming in her hand, and then she throws it at the snake's head. I'm going to roll to attack first. That is 15 to attack.
Yep, you got it.
Oh, wow. And then it does 2d8 plus 1d6 damage, okay. But then one of the d8s chooses what kind of damage it is. 1, it's going to be acid damage.
Okay.
And I'm doing 14 damage, all acid, to the snake's head. That is my attack, and I'm not going to move anywhere. I'm just standing there. That's the end of my turn.
All right, it hisses like, I can't do a good hiss. And it like whips its head around to look at Odatra.
I'll stick my tongue out at it.
And it sticks its tongue out at you. It is Ren's turn.
I would like to go up to the snake that is grappling, and I would like to punch it in the face.
Okay.
And then I would like to use my bonus action to again punch it in the face. So that is 24.
Yeah, you definitely punch it in the face. You punch it in the face twice.
So I will roll up to it and I will go pow pow. 11 points of damage.
It looks somewhat hurting, but angry. It hisses at you too. Then it's the snake's turn again. Since you hit it last, Ren, snake is going to strike out with its head at Ren. And while it's still, the second half of it's still wrapped around Calario. And it's going to try to bite you in your arm. 17.
That will hit.
So it's going to sink its fangs into your arm.
What cruel turn of fortune! I have been laid low by this serpent.
Take 9 points of damage. Piercing damage in your arm. And the other snake is going to go after...
I think I'm still within 5 feet of it, but...
That's true. It'll still go after you, because that makes more sense.
Considering it bit me last time.
Yeah.
That makes sense, I guess.
It's going to try to bite you again. It will hit you, I think, because it got a 24.
Nope.
Okay, so it's going to try to bite you. 7 piercing damage.
I only take 4 of that.
Cool. And 5 of fire damage.
Okay.
Yeah, and then the little gray guy, so the one behind the bench that you saw, like, peek its hand out and stuff, It has the chipped yellow nail polish. Larkin, you notice that a little tug on one of your pouches, and maybe if you turn to look, you'll see like a little hand retreating out of your bag and back into a little portal. And what kind of things would you have in your pouches?
Well, I have a small silver needle that does not bend. It's very stabby. I have some disguises. Those are like in the backpack, okay. Though. I have a little dagger. I have some candles.
Okay.
Ink, a quill, a tiny knife.
So if you spent time to look in there, which you might not do, but you'd be missing a few of those things.
No.
And then the one underneath the statue, that one has a big nose. You see, like, going around it, there's, like, this puddle of, like, oily substance that's starting to, like, spread around it in, like, a 5-foot radius. And, yeah, it's not pee, it's oily. I'm just going to point that out there because I realized it sounded weird. It's Larkin's turn.
Okay, so which person is in the most danger right now?
It looks like Calario is pretty uncomfortable right now because he's being strangled.
Right. That one. So I'm going to cast Vicious Mockery on the snake that's strangling Calario.
Okay.
A wisdom saving throw.
Okay. Well, I rolled a 6 and has +0 for wisdom.
I got a 3.
Is that 3 damage?
3 psychic.
3 mm-hmm. psychic damage.
It has disadvantage on its next attack roll.
Okay.
Yeah, you tell a good snake insult.
I unleashed a string of insults at the snake, like, hey, you slimy worm, you look like that thing I dissected in summer camp and then threw out when I was done.
It looks, like, offended. And it's not as focused on Ren and Hilario.
I will remain where I am, hurling insults from far away.
All right, so it's Clarius' turn.
Yay, me. So you're going to let me cast spells in horse form?
Oh, yeah.
I have hands?
Oh. Yep. You're sweet. Like, why is this happening? I don't know. It's magic.
It's magic. So I want to cast Flame Blade.
Okay.
And I want it to appear in my mouth.
Okay. Yes.
So as a bonus action, I cast Flame Blade, really hoping that it appears somewhere on my person and I'm surprised. When a flaming scimitar appears in my mouth.
Uh-huh.
And I look right at the snake and I kind of glare at it and I try and make a slashing motion with my flaming sword at his throat.
Okay. Go for it.
Ooh, it's not bad at all. 20.
You definitely slashy slashy it.
Slashy slashy. 9 points of fire damage.
Okay. It looks like moderately injured. And it's bleeding gouts of blood.
Hello, and welcome to the intermission of Things Aren't Always What They Seem, Part 2. Thank you all for participating in our Dice Bag Twitter giveaway. The winner was @CosmiCat on Twitter. But don't worry if you missed out on the giveaway or did not win. We will be having another giveaway in a couple months' time for when we do our question and answer episode. To enter that one, all you have to do is ask us a question. We will have more details on that when we get closer to that time. Also, if you don't like leaving it up to chance and would like to have your very own custom-made dice bag, just head on over to our Patreon. All $10 a month patrons get to design your own dice bag with Jen. Go check out our Patreon with various perks. This is part 2 of Jen's one-shot, and it's looking like there's probably going to be 4 parts to this one. And then we'll be back to our normal storyline. Stick around for the end of the episode to hear from our friends at Tales of Asperon. Next episode will be up Wednesday, November 27th, one day after my birthday. Now, let's get back to the action.
So Leopold's turn now.
Okay, I'm going to lash out with my greatsword and cut the snake that has been attacking me so viciously. So I'm going to use a bonus action to make a combat maneuver against the snake. I'm going to make a feinting attack.
Okay.
So that gives me advantage on this attack roll against the snake.
Okay, cool.
So I'm going to make my attack. Oh, wow, those are terrible rolls. I rolled a 3 and a 4, but that means I had an 11. I don't know if that hits.
It doesn't. Sorry.
Then I'm going to get really mad, and I guess that's all I can do.
Okay, it hisses at you in triumph and mockery.
I start yelling at it in Dwarvish.
It doesn't look like it comprehends that. Now it goes back to Odratra's turn.
One, I'm just going to do Chaos Bolt again on the same Constrictor. Roll to hit. Ooh, probably not. 8.
Nope.
And then
it flies wild.
Yeah, you guys see bolt of energy that seems to switch through acid, fire, lightning, and just fires off into the distance.
Probably just hits the wall of shrubs.
Oh, does it do anything to the wall of shrubs?
They kind of just like shuffles a little. What do you call that? Rustles.
Rustles. Okay.
But it doesn't really look like it did much to it.
And then I'm going to yell out in the direction of the gray things on the statue. Why must you give us this present?
Oh, well, Mistress said we had to, so, well, and it's funny. That horse that's getting strangled is pretty hilarious.
I'd rather think it's not.
Well, we think it's funny. And then they're giggling.
Yeah, all right. That's the end of my turn.
Yep. Okay, now it's Ren's turn.
Can I check to see if I can see one of the three wrinkly creatures?
So there's one hiding behind a bench, so you can't really see that one. And it's like 20, 30 feet away from you. There's one sitting on top of the centaur statue. And then there's one kind of crouched behind, like, the plinth, like, underneath.
I want to attempt to kick the one off, the one that's on the statue, okay. Off of the statue.
So you have to run up there and then roll athletics, I think, or acrobatics. Probably acrobatics. The centaur statue is probably, like, 6 feet tall to where the top of it is.
Acrobatics, that is a 16.
I'll say you can do it, though it's not like the most graceful thing you've ever done. And
yeah, I'm going to.
Are you just like punting him off of it?
If I can successfully do that, I am going to try to punch him when he hits the ground. So, first the kick.
Okay.
That is a 24.
Yeah, you hit it. It's a little dude, and it goes flying.
Well, I'm not that big either, so.
That's true. But you have like strong arms.
That is a total of 7 points of bludgeoning damage.
Okay.
As my foot crashes into its stomach. Does it land close enough for me to hit again?
It landed 6 feet away. So probably.
I got 35 feet of movement.
Then yeah.
Stroll up to it and I'm just going to bop it right in the nose.
Okay. It's crying now, by the way.
That is 18.
Yep, you hit it.
That's 4 points.
Okay.
I should mention none of this is intended to be lethal damage, but it will still, I'm assuming, be very unpleasant.
Yeah, it's like crying, ugly, giant Miyazaki-sized tears coming out of its eyes, which is somewhat disturbing. It's whimpering like, this is not fun anymore.
It's like it didn't think we'd fight back.
The two giant bleeding holes in my arm says, yeah, don't care.
Is that your whole turn?
I have moved, I have actioned, and I have bonus actioned.
It's now their turn. So the one that you hit, are you still standing 5 feet away from it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't move away from it. I'm still standing over it, all 3 feet, 5 inches of me.
Okay.
That was bad and you should feel bad.
It's crying. For its turn, it's going to excrete a puddle of oily substance on the ground. You like look down at your shoes, Ren, or your sock.
My brand new socks?
No, because you're wearing those on your hands. So you look down at your bare feet and you can feel like oily substance like seeping around your foot and it's starting to feel real slippery.
I'm gonna lift my pants up a little bit.
Okay. And it's about an inch deep, so your feet, I don't know if they're tall as an inch or not, but there's probably a lot of oil on your feet right now. It's going to try to scoot away like a little slip and slide. It's going to try to do that away from you.
Crying scared and it's inked itself.
Yes. It was fun in games until now, and now it's not. And so it's going to move 30 feet away from you. So it's probably like in the corner cowering, like behind a bench, kind of near where that other one is. And there's like a oily line to where it went. The one behind the statue is kind of close to you now. So it's actually going to scamper underneath the legs of the satyr, and you'll see it like go under the legs and like not come out the other side. Like it, you don't see where it goes exactly. And the third one's not really gonna do any. Actually, it's gonna go try steal more stuff from Larkin. So 19. Larkin, you want to make a perception check to see if you can like catch this hand before it steals from you?
I'm firing that dice.
It's called dice jail. You have to make a dice jail for it.
Go. I got 5.
Yeah, you do not even notice.
Do I add it to this?
Well, but if you roll a 1, that's a critical failure.
Is that what you rolled? Yeah, I
yes.
Did you roll a 1?
Stupid dice.
Yeah,
yes. She rolled a 1. Oh, yeah, you don't even notice when it steals more things from your pouches.
It better not take my stabby silver needle that never bends.
Well, I'll just have to roll randomly of what it takes after this, if that's an actually important thing to you. If not, it's just flavor text. Yeah, that one does that. And then, okay, it's the snake's turn. So the constrictor snake is... Well, who's standing next to it?
Calario is still being held by it.
It's going to try to fit your face in its mouth.
My face with a fire sword on it.
Yeah.
Does your sword stay, by the way?
Please, go ahead.
No, it's going to go for your butt instead then.
Perfect.
All right. Going to have advantage. I rolled an 8 and a 9, so it probably won't hit you. Plus 6. 9, 4, oh,
it'll definitely hit me. I have
15.
Like 11 AC.
You don't have 11 AC. You have 13 AC.
As a horse? Yeah.
No, remember I said it was all the same as your normal stats. But I also got higher than 13, so it still gets you. It's going to bite your butt real good. It's going to do 6 damage for you. 6 bitey damage on your horsey butt.
Okie doke.
Fire snake? I feel bad just wailing on Leopold. But no one else is standing there. So it's gonna try to bite you again with its sharp, sharp teeth. 19.
Yeah.
Sorry. 4 of piercing damage and 2 fire damage.
Noted.
Okay. Yeah, it looks like real smug because you are looking not so great. And it's like, haha, no one's actually hit me yet. Suck it.
Nothing's worse than a smug snake. It's like Draco
that's
Malfoy.
That's what his little thought bubble. Yeah. And that's all. So now it is Larkin's turn.
Okay, have I noticed yet if my bag feels lighter?
Do you want to, like, check your bag?
Yeah.
To see if... I'll give you that as a bonus action. Yeah, you can look in there and realize there's, like, half as much stuff in there as there was before.
Okay. So I noticed that, and I look around, and do I see one of the little creatures?
Last time you saw it was behind a bench, like, 30 feet away. How much is your movement?
35.
Okay, so yeah, you can make it.
I'll shout at it. Where did my stuff go? What are you doing here? Why are you here, you little creature? Also, your nail polish is chipped. One of you.
I don't know where your stuff went. It just disappeared. And then it says, Mistress told us to come here and give you guys these presents. And I don't know, it's funny. And then it like sticks its tongue out at you.
Which presents? The ones that were in the box?
No, not those. The snakes. Those are the presents. It's funny.
Who is your mistress?
She's the mistress. The one, the queen here. Don't you know? Oh, wait, you guys probably not from here, huh?
No, we're not.
Well, she's the mistress. She's the forgotten queen. And then it will, like, duck its head down behind the bench and, like, kind of hide from you.
Okay, well, I'm going to get my rapier out and go after it.
Oh, God. It's like sticking its tongue out, but then when it sees you like coming with a sword, it's like, ah! So you use your full movement to get over there. Okay, so then you roll an attack roll for your weapon.
Okay, I got 13.
Okay. Oh, you miss it. Ugh.
Dang nabbit. So I swing my sword at it, but it scurries out of the way, and I was off anyway. Ugh, rot it. Chavin's grave.
Yeah. Nice job. It sticks out its tongue and, like, waggles its fingers and its giant ears.
I grimace.
All right, so now it's Kalario's turn.
And I'm still wrapped by a snake's neck.
Yep, yep. And your butt has, like, 2 holes in it.
I'm not very happy about being bit in the butt, so I'm going to try and stab it with my mouth flame sword of death.
Okay.
Because I can't really do anything else. So
good thing you have such a long face.
To hit. 16 to hit.
Oh, yeah, you hit it.
I rolled 3d6s and got 1s on all of them.
Oh, no.
Too bad you don't have the luck feature. Doesn't that let you re-roll?
Yeah, too bad I'm not Peleus. Shame.
Okay, well, it only needed 3 more hit points to die, so how do you kill it?
Sadly, apparently. Pathetically.
you hit it with the flat of the sword.
Yeah. I just gingerly burn the side of its neck with a gentle caress and accidentally kill it.
Okay.
I was trying to woo it, really. No, I mean, I'm assuming I'm going to try and... I don't really have a lot of movement in my neck, being a horse. But just plunge the flame blade into whatever piece of snake body I can find. And I guess it starts sizzling a little bit there.
Yeah, and it starts, like, convulsing as it dies and it lets go of you.
That's terrifying.
That's what snakes do when they die. That's gross. What a lot of animals do. I mean, not to be graphic or anything, but when you stab something in a spinal cord, it usually convulses a little bit.
Well, I hit the spinal cord. Kill me. So dexterous, so accurate. And now that I'm not grappled anymore, I guess I'm going to move toward those gray dudes.
Which one? So there's one where Larkin is on the left side bench 30 feet away, and then there's 2 behind the right side bench 30 feet away.
But one is disengaged from combat entirely, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's like cowering in the corner behind the bench.
Gotcha. I'll go toward the one that's not engaged with Larkin currently, I guess.
Okay. So how much movement do you have?
40.
Okay, you can go over there. Cool. It like sees you and its eyes grow really wide and it kind of like puts his head under the bench a little more.
Fair enough. I can't really do much once I'm here. I'm just kind of...
menace it.
Look at him. And I can't really talk because I have a sword in my mouth. So...
yeah. Oh, and I should mention, when the snake died, it just turned back into a green scarf on the ground that looks like a little worse for the wear.
A little toasted.
A little toasty. Kalario is done. Now it is Leopold's turn.
All right. I'm going to use another combat maneuver. And this time... not roll really badly. So I'm going to strike at the snake with my greatsword. And, oh, I rolled 2 of the same number. But thankfully it's higher than a 5. So does an 18 smite this snake?
Okay, you finally hit the snake.
I know, which is hilarious because I only have +7 to hit. But I wasn't rolling greater than an 8. So because I used one of my superiority die, I'm pulling off a fainting attack, which gave me advantage, but also allows me to use my superiority die when I do damage. And since I also have great weapon fighting, I reroll 1s, and that's cocked. So I got only 13 damage.
Oh.
That's my full action, bonus action. So.
All right. Did you want to move or anything?
No.
Okay.
Because then it would have hit me.
Yeah. It looks, so when you hit it with your greatsword, it like kind of like bounces off the scales a little more than you were expecting, and you still like gouge it a little bit, but it seems like you could have done more damage to it if it weren't so scaly, I guess.
I will shout, scarf it! And that's all.
Alrighty, it's Odatra's turn now.
Cool. I will start muttering under my breath and circle my hands around each other and then shoot a spell directed at the orange flamey serpent, and it is blindness or deafness. So I'm going to choose blindness, and you need to make a constitution saving throw.
Okay, 13.
13 is my DC, so attack goes to me, so it is blind.
Oh, what does that mean?
It is literally blind.
I know, but does it have
What does blind mean?
Yeah. Let's see. Blinded creature can't see and automatically fails any ability check that requires sight. Attack rolls against the creature have advantage, and the creature's attack rolls have disadvantage.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so now it has, bleeding eyes, just like from Harry Potter, the second one. That's what it looks like, but it's fiery and red.
And at the end of its turn, it can make a constitution saving throw. On a success, the spell ends.
Okay. Alrighty. Is that all you want to do?
Yeah, I will stay where I am.
Okey-dokey. Now it is Ren's turn.
Yay! Can I go hit the fire snake?
Sure, but first you have to get out of the oil puddle.
Good. I'm going to try to do like a 3-point slide out and look super cool.
Oh, wait. What if any creature starts its turn there, you must succeed on a dexterity saving throw.
Yeah, let's do it. It's 14.
Yeah, you're good. You're good. You like ice skate out of there.
Yep, I ice skate over. I'm going to punch a snake twice.
Okay, and you're going to punch it?
Yes, and it is blind.
Alrighty. And you have vantage on your attack rolls.
Oh, I rolled 219, so that's going to be another 24.
Wow, yeah, you hit it.
And second punch as I pop it right in the snake mouth. I'm going to pop it again right in the snake mouth because there's no point in punching a snake in the butt.
No?
So 24 and 22, I think.
Yeah, they both hit.
All right. That is 11 points.
What kind of damage is that?
That is bludgeoning.
Okie dokie. Yeah, it's punched, and it looks, pretty injured now. It's, bleeding a bit from its face where you punched it. And, yeah, do you want to move or anything?
No, I'm going to hang out right where
I am. Cool. Alrighty, it is now Snek's turn. Snek is going to see that you are there, and you punched it in the face. Actually,
it
can't see, but it felt being punched, yeah. And it was like, I really don't like that, because
so disadvantage on its attack roll,
and it's gonna have disadvantage one, and it's gonna try to bite you. 12.
That does not hit.
Doesn't hit because you have
my AC is 15.
Alrighty, so it snaps at you, but you can dodge out of the way, or just misses you entirely. You can choose what happens. Do you want to dodge, or do you want it to just miss?
Ooh. I will just take a nice little dead. I'm actually, with my slippery feet, I'm just going to kind of slide to the other side
of it. Yeah, you probably didn't even notice.
I'm behind it. Now I'm flanking it.
yep, and it's going to try to do its second attack with its tail, and it has disadvantage on that too. Ooh, it probably doesn't make it because I rolled a 3. Well, yep, it flails widely with its tail.
I just kind of, move slightly to the left, let it flail a little bit, and then move back.
Oh, I forgot to say that when you hit it with your melee attack, that you get some fire damage.
Little singe knuckles.
You get three fire damage. Your hands are a little toasty now. And that's the end of its turn. And then the little boggles, they're going to cower in fear and... The one next, so there's one within 5 feet of Larkin, I believe, right, Aaron? Yeah. It's going to, you'll see its skin, beat up with some sort of substance that, drips down into the ground. And there's a pool underneath it now, but it looks like very viscous oil. It didn't look the same as the one you can see by Ren.
Ew.
And you're within 5 feet of it, so it's gonna exude onto your area that you're standing to. It's going to disengage also, because they're all little scaredy pants, and it's going to go under the bench legs and disappear. And you can try to roll perception if you want to see where it ended up.
I got 19.
Okay, yeah, you can. You look around when you see that it's disappearing into this portal under the bench, and you see it 15 feet away. There's a bench at the very long end away from you, away from where everyone else came in, so the opposite end of the courtyard, and it's you can see it an ear poking out from under the bench, it's hiding You probably can't hear it whimpering, but it's definitely whimpering because it's scared.
Okay. Can I avoid the oil that, or the weird stuff that's being secreted? Because it looks gross and I don't want to step in it.
Yeah, I feel like I'm going to say, because I am the DM and I can do what I want, that I will give you a dex saving throw to see if you can, like, get out of the way when you see that it's coming towards you.
Oh, no. Seven.
No. you move one foot out of the way and then realize belatedly that the other foot is now covered in oil.
Ew.
If you try to move, it's real sticky. You, like, can't really move your foot.
Okay.
Yeah. And we'll resolve the rest of that on your turn. But that is all my things are going to do, my little monsters. And now it is your turn.
Okay, well, I will try to move out of the stuff that I'm accidentally standing in.
Roll a strength saving throw.
Okay, so I got a 9.
You got a 9?
Yeah.
You try real hard to get out of the sticky puddle, and you can't. So now you are restrained into the puddle for your turn. You can still move your arms and stuff, you just can't take movement this turn. Or until you unstickify yourself.
Can I still cast a spell?
Definitely.
Okay.
Yeah. Because you can kind of, like, even if you are facing the wrong way, you can, like, twist your body around enough to, like, aim somewhere.
Okay. So I'm going to cast Tasha's Hideous Laughter.
Nice. At what?
One of the little creatures. I'll go after the one with the chipped nail polish.
Okay. That one's the one that you were chasing to begin with. Okay. So that's in the bench, like, 15 feet away.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Where you saw its little ear peeking out. Imagine, like, a uglier, wrinklier Dobby.
Oh,
that's what you're attacking.
I can't attack Dobby. But I will anyway.
Okay.
So it needs to make a wisdom save against spell save 13.
Ooh, I just rolled a 16, so I think it probably made it. It's plus one. Okay, so yeah, it made it. 17. Alrighty. Do you have any bonus actions?
Just cursing.
Okay. You can curse as much as you want.
I'll say, rot it, those stinky mushroom grubbers.
Now it's Calaria's turn.
And there's still one of those pseudo dobbies under a bench right in front of me?
Yep. There's still one under the bench.
Right.
Whimpering in fear.
I would try to talk to it, but I can't.
Yeah. Oh, you have the sword in your mouth?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because I was like, you can talk as a horse. That's not inhibiting you. But no, you have a giant sword in your mouth.
Sword of death. So I'm going to try and talk to it by hitting it with a flaming sword.
Okay. This one is the one with the big nose.
Big nose. Does a 15 hit the one with the big nose?
Yep.
Okie doke. Oh, that's much better. 16 fire damage.
Oh, God. It looks like it's hanging on to the last threads of life.
Okay. So, noticing that I've done a substantial amount of damage to this weird little wrinkly big nose monstrosity, I'm going to spit the sword out of my mouth, which it goes away. I'm going to try to talk to it and go, what are you guys attacking us for?
Well, the mistress said, this hurts. Why did you make me all burny?
You made a giant snake appear and that bit me in the butt, and I show it my two buttholes. Not the third.
Jen has her face down on her desk right now laughing, by the way. Butt jokes, everybody.
When's the last time you heard someone say in a game, and then I show up my two buttholes? Well, says, I didn't mean to do that. We was just doing as we was told.
Well, I mean, you can end this by making the snake go away.
I don't really know how to do that.
All right, guess we'll have to kill it, and then maybe you.
Yeah, it just starts sobbing in its burned body. Goodness,
it's so pathetic. How far away is the snake from me?
About 30 feet.
All right, I'm get about 10 feet away from it. No, I'm going to walk 10 feet toward it.
Okay.
So I'm standing 20 feet away. And using a bonus action, I'm going to make my flame blade reappear.
Okay.
it's not recasting it. I just get to keep it for 10 minutes until I lose concentration. So
fancy.
I know. One mean looking horsey. And that's it for me.
Alrighty. It's Kit's turn. So Leopold's turn.
Leopold's going to try to attack the snake again.
Okay, good luck.
You gain advantage because it's blind.
Yeah, it's blinded, so you got advantage.
That's delightful. Oh, God, I destroyed it. 24. That's a hit.
Yeah. Yeah, you hit it with your sword real good.
And I hit it again for a delightful 13 damage.
That's exactly enough.
Oh, great.
That you how do you do the final blow?
It's going to be one of those just clean cuts, just thwap, and off goes its head. And with a sigh of satisfaction, Leopold's going to watch the head sail through the air. Yeah.
And then as it's sailing through the air, it's turning into a piece of scarf.
Cool.
And then the body turns into another piece of scarf.
Does the subsequent fire damage then kill Leopold?
What?
He takes fire damage from doing that.
Yeah, how much damage?
Oh, yeah. 1d6. I rolled a 2.
Okay. So I'm not
dead. You're still alive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm going to menacingly look for one of the little servant thingies and walk towards it and try to find out where it is.
Okay.
Very mad that they made us, that they made me hurt so much.
There's one that Kalario just talked to.
Okay, I will head towards that one. And as a bonus action, I'm going to use my second wind to heal some because I hurt. And I rolled a 10, so I heal up 13 hit points.
Alrighty. Yeah, you can go over. Are you guys going to attack these things or talk to them?
I have no interest in talking to them. I either want them to die or I want to find a way out of here.
Okay, so we'll stay in combat. That was my question. Yeah, so how much movement do you have? 30?
Yes, I have 30.
Okay, so you can get over to the bench with the cowering, sad heap of an injured boggle.
I guess to be kind, I will say as I walk up there, you have better get us a way out of here or else there's going to be more trouble.
And in response, it sobs and points at the corner that's so the side you came in on is opposite long side of the room. And if you turn to look, you can see that there is a passageway that has opened now.
Oh, has that been there this whole time? I say to the party.
No, I don't think so.
Don't know.
Congratulations, you opened it.
Do you guys want to be out of combat now, or are you going to still attack the boggles?
I've got no interest in attacking the
boggles. Yeah, I'll leave combat.
Alrighty. It's hiding under the bench, and the other one's cowering the corner, and there are two other ones hiding under the other bench.
I am going to pick up the half of the scarf that was the head of the snake. And I'm gonna crumple it up, throw it at one of the boggles, and here, wipe your face with your dead friend.
It wasn't my friend. It's just a scarf. And then it sobs into it and blows its giant nose like a hanky on the scarf.
God, I hope that scarf bites you.
And there's a lot of snot that comes out. And it's really gross.
God, this is depressing. Let's get out of here.
Can I have my stuff back?
This is terrible. Let's get out of here.
Are you saying that to the little boggle?
Yeah.
It's what do you say?
Oh, I will punch you so hard.
Well, please, little creature. May I have my stuff back?
It reaches into its greasy folds of skin and plops all of your stuff into your hand with a fair amount of drippy grease.
And I look disgusted, but I carefully wrap it up in maybe that scarf that the boggle blew its nose into and put it in my pack.
That's probably grosser, honestly. It has a lot of snot on it right now.
Okay, I'll get the other piece of scarf and wrap it up.
Okay, good. It's you're gonna have a real snotty pocket.
A snocket. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Mike, the storyteller from Tales of Asperon. On this clear night, you find yourself at a makeshift camp within the Whiteleaf Wood. Beside you, an older gentleman sits on a log with a book, writing of its own accord. The light from the stellar rings surrounding the planet bring a pleasant glow to this person's scarred face.
This story is about four young folks who cross paths in the simple town of Homestead, on the frontiers of Asperon. Together, these kids save a poisoned man on the street, believing him to be a hero of sorts. Little did they know, this kindness would unravel their lives into a heap of trouble. You see, Asperon is filled with danger. The Hearthlands will melt your body to its very bones, and titanic beasts roam the jungles and forests. Though the frontier is the worst of all. It has no kings, queens, or country, just people. People who will take whatever they want. The frontier, well, it's where heroes are forged. And I hope these kids have what it takes to make it through the fire.
Hello, adventurers. If you enjoyed that preview of our 5th edition Real Play podcast, check out our website at www.toapodcast.com. You can also find us on Apple, Google, Spotify, and most of the other free podcasting apps.